seven times I said hello to everybody who's listening. My name is Louis Shoup, and welcome to another edition of the WTF Files with Louis Shoup. My voice might sound a little different, but I promise you I am who I am that I say that I am. And today I'm going to talk about some of my opponents in the congressional race for the PA 7th Congressional District. In case you might not know, I am probably the last place person at the moment as far as fundraising goes because I'm broke as fuck. And I'm running against the Democratic Party person, most likely to succeed in that, Representative Susan Wilde, who has at least $1.5 million. On the other side, I'm running at least against three or four Republicans that will eventually go down to one. But I'm going to talk about one in particular today, and her name is Maria Montero, who hosted an event the other day in Lehighton after it was revealed that Susan Wilde, in the midst of a Zoom call, was very dismayed about acquiring Carbon County in the PA 7th Congressional District. And she immediately apologized for this, and some of the Republicans are taking her to task. Bullshit. Okay, first off, I fault Miss Wilde, whom I know personally from working with her in Allentown, kind of, sort of. I fault her for apologizing for what she did. It was wrong. She didn't defend herself at all, I think. And then Montero was very insistent on... She was running some kind of Kool-Aid thing going on. She's got this reformed Kool-Aid man there who apparently was done with his community service. And I posted a picture on the link for today, saying, "We're going to drink the Kool-Aid? Oh, yeah!" Well, here's the problem with that, Miss Montero. They are drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm running a campaign here to do something different, and I am very much anti-Trump. Donald Trump killed, through his negligence, millions of people on this planet. And the Republican Party is implicated in this, but nobody wants to talk about this except me. So, yeah, I think you're doing the wrong thing here. Republicans are responsible, and you want to join Republicans for this? You want to join Republicans in the snow job they're giving to my people here in the Lehigh Valley? Bull fucking shit. Okay? Now, bear with me here a moment, as I am going to read off from an article I saw the other day from Tom Hartman, who explains a few things. And I'm going to intersperse this with observations of my own, seeing as I've been administering various Facebook groups, most of them here in this area, most of them in the Lehigh Valley, and some in other places, both left and right, for the past several years. Now, let's see here. I'm going to do something like this. All right. So the article itself was entitled, "Why Can't the Morbidly Rich Tech CEOs Be Sued or Arrested?" This, on the surface, sounds like a very good idea. And that's because of all the bovine manure that's coming down through Facebook groups. And a lot of people are drinking this Kool-Aid. Now, the whole thing about drinking Kool-Aid started with Jim Jones in Guyana, when he fed some kind of Kool-Aid mixture to his cult followers, and they ended up all dying. And the fact that Miss Montero is making light of this is totally wrong and totally bogus for the people of Carbon County that she says she's from Summit Hill. Okay? So she's actually doing her own people a big disservice. I'm offering something different, but I digress. Yesterday, families whose children died as a result of interactions with social media companies confronted the industry's top CEOs. The most dramatic moments were when Senator Lindsey Graham told billionaire Mark Zuckerberg that he had blood on his hands. And when Senator Josh Hawley, of all people, demanded Zuck apologize to the grieving parents in the room, he did. Kind of, sort of. But behind all that drama, which the TV networks loved, was a huge issue that the networks largely ignored because they benefit from this too. It has to do with something called Section 230. The Republican case against regulation of businesses has always boiled down to arguing that when people are harmed by a company's behavior, they can sue for big bucks. If a car company knowingly markets a defective car, they can be sued by people who sustain injury. If your hospital kills a family member because they didn't sterilize things properly, they can be sued. If your local restaurants make you violently ill from food poisoning, you can sue them. But the five fabulously wealthy CEOs who were grilled by members of the Senate Judiciary Committee last Wednesday, occupy a unique space in American law. They can't be sued, can't be arrested, and can't be held accountable for almost anything happening on their platform, even if they knew all about it and failed or refused to stop it, nor can their companies or any of their employees or shareholders. This is because of a bizarre provision, otherwise known as Section 230, of the Telecommunications Act that Congress passed and was signed by President Clinton in 1996. It was supposed to help jumpstart the Internet, but what it really did was make Mark Zuckerberg into the richest millennial in America, as he now owns about 2% of all wealth held by American millennials, and led to a nationwide mental health crisis. The language is explicit enough. While a newspaper, radio station, or TV station can be held responsible for what they publish and its consequences, Facebook can't be. Section 230 says it clearly, and I quote, "No provider or user of an interactive computer service shall be treated as the publisher or speaker of any information provided by another information content provider." Not only has Section 230 turned the web into a stalking ground for sexual predators, the main focus of Wednesday's hearings, it's also given Russian President Vladimir Putin cheap and easy access to individual Americans, an access he's been using for years to tear our country apart. Now, I'm going to explain that statement, okay? It has been my observation, and I've been online since most of you listeners out there. I've been online here since way before Endless September began. I want to say back in 1989 was when I started hanging out with BBSs and such. And over that long period of time, I have observed all manner of bovine manure coming from Russian IP addresses. Kazakhstan, Ukraine for a while, until Zelensky came on board. And these places have what are called troll farms, which back in the day went and polluted Usenet to a point where Usenet was basically unusable. They started with something called sporgery, which is a portmanteau of the word forgery and spam. Combine them together and you get all these meaningless posts that basically clogged up Usenet for everybody, making it very challenging to keep a conversation going in what at that time was the biggest bulletin board system in the world. I miss it terribly even. And it has graduated on up to the modern web with social media. He has whole troll farms and groups of people who only mission in life is to create division. And they did this with Donald Trump, the biggest granddaddy divider of them all. Okay? The fact that he is the biggest granddaddy liar of all time should make Baron Munchausen green with envy, if you were a real person. Unfortunately, Donald Trump is. And he had help, okay? He lies. Republicans who support all these things lie. They're culture war, Charlie Kirk, and all that other bullshit. They lie to divide. And they do this very, very well. And I have seen this, especially on Facebook. I have seen whole groups turn away and throw out so much bovine. And you can't complain. You can't complain because, first off, Mark Zuckerberg is practically untouchable because of Section 230. And if you complain in the group, you get banned. It's easy. Just, and they're gone. I know this because, well, I'll confess, I've done a few things like that myself in the groups that I admin. Now, I admin groups on both left and right of the political spectrum. Left and right, black and white, I admin about maybe 50 to 75 different groups overall. And I try to keep it easy. I try to keep it easy because I value a civil discourse. I don't mind tough conversations. And later on, I hope you give me a phone call and we'll talk tough conversations. As long as you're respectful and as long as you're civil. If you can't handle that, click. End of discussion. But I digress. For example, on a warm Sunday night leading up to the 2020 election, about 200 locals showed up at the small Oregon town of Klamath Falls, armed with guns, baseball bats, and whatever other weapons they could find around the house to fight off the busloads of black Antifa marauders, who they believed Jewish billionaire George Soros had paid to put on a bus in Portland and was sending their way to replace them. Of course, George Soros had done no such thing, and there were no busload of black people. But the warnings were all over the Klamath Falls Facebook group, and it turned out similar Facebook groups were small towns all across America. Literally from coast to coast, that weekend, white residents of small towns showed up in their downtown areas with guns, rifles, hammers, and axes prepared to do battle with busloads of black people being sent into their small towns, their small white towns, by George Soros. Notice he's a big boogeyman in the right-wing circles. Most of it is bullshit. They're lying to you about that because they want to agitate you. And the Facebook algorithms will keep showing you those agitating posts because they want you to stay engaged. They don't like civil conversation, even though I have very good luck with that in the left and right groups that I manage. But I don't buy into that bullshit. I don't buy into that fake news. You post fake news like that shit in my groups, poof, you're gone. I will not tolerate bullshit like that. But that weekend, literally from coast to coast, white residents of small towns showed up in their downtown areas with guns, rifles, hammers, and axes, prepared to do battle with busloads of black people being sent by George Soros. Nobody's sure whether these messages with activated, frightened white people across the nation just came from white supremacist groups or were from Putin's troll farms, otherwise known as social media companies, aren't saying what they know, trying to tear America apart to help get Trump reelected. But they worked. They worked very well. In the tiny town of Forks, Washington, frightened white people brought out chainsaws and cut down trees to block the road leading to their town to stop the buses of black people they thought were on their way. Does that sound familiar? It should. About a year or so ago, when the head of Russian's primary troll farm in St. Petersburg was on a march to Moscow, he was one of the big warlords that were fighting in Ukraine, and all of a sudden, he wasn't getting enough ammunition, he wasn't getting enough help from Moscow, so he said, fuck this shit, we're marching to Moscow. And guess what they did? They cut down the trees and they blocked the roads just like they did in Oregon. And did it help? Yeah, kind of, sort of. It turned out that the guy, Priozhin, and I know I'm mispronouncing that, ended up going to Belarus. And from there, he hopped a plane to Moscow And wouldn't you know it, the plane crashed. Imagine that. But I digress again. In South Bend, Indiana, police were overwhelmed by 9/11 calls from frightened white people wanting to know when the Antifa buses were arriving. And in nearby Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, the local neighborhood social media group warned people that busloads of black people were organizing to riot and loot. Did it happen? No. Similar stories played out that weekend across the nation, from Danville, California to Jacksonville, Florida, as documented by NBC News. Of course, it was all fiction. But this nationwide campaign in hundreds of social media groups turned thousands of angry and well-armed white Americans out into the streets with extraordinarily similar stories and in a precise timeline all across the country. According to the Mueller Report and the FBI, Putin's troll farms have been targeting Americans via social media for years. When you hear right-wing nuts say that the Russian collusion was a hoax, it was real. They are fucking lying to you. And they continue to lie. And Maria Montero and the other Republican candidates are trying to wrap themselves in this bovine manure. And it's bullshit. Total fucking bullshit. According to the Mueller report and the FBI, Putin's troll farms have been targeting America via social media for years. They indicted 34 individuals and three Russian businesses for their work spreading lies and disinformation to get Trump elected in 2016. White supremacist groups in America regularly get boosts from Putin's troll farms, who have the power to make messages go viral all over Facebook, all over Twitter, all over Instagram, and now TikTok. I didn't mention TikTok before. That's another whole ball of wax. TikTok, which is fast becoming the number two or number three social media out there, is manipulated and controlled by a malevolent Chinese government who, in their own right and in their own way, want to sow division. They want to divide the people between left and right, and they want to make them angry at each other. It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. But were the social media platforms that hosted those lies ever punished? Did they have to do anything to repair the damage Putin did to America via their companies? Is there even a regulatory agency that has the ability to control them the way the FCC can a radio or TV station? The way the government does car manufacturers, or the way the FDA oversees the pharmaceutical industry? No. Not at all, on all counts, because of Section 230. And the social media companies know this. It's intrinsic to their profit-making strategies, in fact. An internal Facebook document from 2019, leaked to the MIT Technology Review and written about by Karen Hayo, found that about 15,000 different foreign troll farms run Facebook pages, groups, and sites reaching 140 million Americans every month. I don't have that kind of reach. With all the Facebook groups that I seed the advertisement to today's show to, I'm lucky if I can top 50,000 here in the Lehigh Valley. But I digress. The foreign-run pages include the largest Christian American page on Facebook, 20 times larger than the next largest, reaching 75 million U.S. users monthly. The largest African American page on Facebook, 3 times larger than the next largest, reaching 30 million U.S. users monthly. The second largest Native American page on Facebook, reaching 400,000 users monthly. the fifth largest women's page on Facebook, reaching 60 million U.S. users monthly. When that 2019 report was written, of the top 20 American Christian sites on Facebook, 19 were foreign troll farm run. 10 of the top 15 African American sites on Facebook, including the one that sits at number one, were similarly run by foreign, mostly Russian, troll farms. There are other troll farms besides Russia and besides China. North Korea operates a few. Lots of places subcontract to other people in Africa, for example, or in Europe, or in other parts of Asia, or in India. India has one of the biggest IT networks on the internet, and lots of people are into scamming from there. Sad, isn't it? Don't believe me? Google it yourself. Do your own fucking homework, just like I have for 35 years. Don't believe the Democratic bullshit. Don't believe the Russian bullshit. Consult the Almighty Oracle for yourself. Is it any wonder, given all this bovine manure, that evangelicals have bonded to Trump and the black vote has been inching in his direction? The Facebook internal memos written by former senior level data analyst Jeff Allen didn't dive into possible political motivations, although the Mueller report made clear that similarly non-U.S. activity on Facebook and other social media exploded prior to the 2016 election, reaching tens of millions of Americans and helping to make Donald Trump president. That America has allowed this situation to exist and fester for almost 30 years is beyond bizarre. Consider the following thought experiment that hopefully makes the entire situation clear. Friday night, your neighbor puts a sign out in front of his house saying, "Big party tonight! No rules! Everybody welcome!" By 2 a.m., the whole house is filled up with criminals doing their thing. Some guy is selling porn in the kitchen. One bedroom has turned into a shooting gallery filled with addicts, while a dealer in stolen guns has taken up residence in the living room. There's a knife fight going on in the backyard. When the police show up, they'll not only bust the probates, they'll also haul off your neighbor. After all, it was his home, and he knew the criminal activity was going on inside of it. That's not particularly controversial, is it? It's been an aspect of the law since at least 1275, with the introduction of the Castle Doctrine into British common law, and probably for millennia before. You have control of your castle, but you also have responsibility for what happens inside of it. The same is true for businesses. If the manager of your local Home Depot, for example, decides to open the large spaces inside the store to after-hours criminal activity, he would go to jail, along with the criminals themselves. But here's the part where it gets weird. What if, instead of a physical location, the home or party venue or business is online and called Facebook or X or TikTok? Interesting question. Back in 1996, a handful of geniuses in Congress thought, hey, let's do away with the entire concept of the homeowner or business owner having responsibility for what happens in their place. Seriously? Selling drugs, trading in guns and ammunition, human trafficking, planning terrorist attack, all good, no problem. No matter what happens on a social media platform, the owner, the person who opened the place to the world and put out a big party sign, bears no responsibility whatsoever for what goes on inside. None. Untouchable. And that's the way it was. The impact of Section 230 is obvious today. Facebook is now so powerful and its impact so far flung that it literally helped cause a mass slaughter, a race-based genocide in Myanmar / Burma. Zuckerberg, our country's richest millennial who owns 2% of all millennial wealth in America, had a secret dinner with Donald Trump during the Trump presidency and held multiple meetings with right-wing politicians, reporters, op-ed writers, and influencers, according to Politico. Unfortunately, no one can find a record of him having similar private dinners with either Obama or Biden, nor with any group of progressive journalists, writers, politicians, or influencers. Numerous sources identify Facebook as one of the major hubs of organizing for right-wing events, including January 6th, the rise of QAnon, and the contemporary militia and white supremacist Nazi movement. The criminals can go to jail, but the people who own the internet castles where the transactions take place are almost entirely immune. In 1997, in the case Zoran versus America Online, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that Section 230 is written so tightly that even when an online service is knowingly allowing lawbreaking, they can't be held responsible or accountable. Since then, a few exceptions have been found by courts, including copyright violations, human trafficking, and instances when the owner of the online castle encouraged people there to conduct illegal activity. But beyond those few extreme situations, it's still the wild, wild west out there on the internet. Fixing or simply avoiding Section 230 is a place where internet-savvy liberals like Amy Klobuchar and far-right conservatives like Josh Hawley and Lindsey Graham can find considerable common ground. It won't be super easy, and it's going to require some serious discussion and debate about the limits of both surveillance and liability, as the Electronic Freedom Foundation points out in a recent piece about the newest attempt to protect children on the Internet. And just in today's Slashdot, I'm reading, will Silicon Valley's next House member rewrite a key Internet law? An anonymous Slashdot reader shared this report from the San Francisco Chronicle. The next House member representing Silicon Valley wants to change a key piece of federal law that shields internet companies like X, Facebook, and Snapchat from lawsuits over content their users post. That protection is considered the lifeblood of social media. The top eight Democratic candidates vying for success or to succeed Democratic Representative Anna Eshoo in her very blue district, agree that something has to be changed with Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which was created in 96, back when lawmakers shied away from anything that would limit the growth. Their unanimity is a sign that Eshoo's successor won't be a tool for the hometown industry, at least not on this issue. The challenge is what to do next. Whoever is elected, their actions as the voice of Silicon Valley will carry outsized weight in Congress. They can lead the charge to actually do something to clear up the bovine manure on social media. The good news is that they will have bipartisan support to address the bile and disinformation online. The bad news is that finding the right solution will still be hard. I don't think it's going to be that hard at all. But if Zuckerberg and his peers have to start hiring people to do what some people did for CompuServe years ago, it may reduce their income from tens of billions to mere billions. But society will be the better for it. Our political landscape will stabilize, and fewer children will die. It is argued that would be a good trade-off, well worth making. If you agree, call Congress at 202-224-3121 and let them know you believe it's time to change Section 230 and consign it to the trash bin of history and begin to hold accountable and regulate these toxic behemoths. Or just send me to Congress and I'll do it. because all this bovine manure seeks to divide. Republicans seek to divide. Maria Montero talks about drinking the Kool-Aid, and she's making light of it, but she's been drinking it herself. She seeks to divide. Not me. I want to unify the people of my home turf. I come from the Slate Belt area, northeast Northampton County, and I've lived in Allentown for a long time as well. I work here, I've been here, and I advocate for civility in political discussions. I don't advocate for this bovine manure that Republicans and Democrats are both pushing. Susan Wilde, I like you, you're a decent legislator, but you're not perfect. And you could have gone a lot, you could have done a lot more to push back against the bovine manure that Trump and the Republican Party has done. So the question is, how can I do that? If you look at my website, shoopforcongress.com, look at number two. It is my intention to organize the registered voter into a special forum where the politics of the day can be civilly discussed and where I can harness the power of the registered voter to help promote legislative change within the halls of Congress. Will this be easy? No. I expect this will be very difficult. It's going to be a very difficult campaign just for me to run this, to get my foot in the door. But assuming for a minute that I am successful and I get elected to Congress, then I have to convince all the other Congress people who are there that this is what my people want and to convince them to go along with this change. So, but in order to get there, I need to get elected. That's one reason why I'm running as an independent. Because there's no way the Democrats would have me, because they don't like real democracy. And there's no way the Republicans would want me, because I want real democracy. Both parties, more so with the Republicans, have been lying to people for years. And a definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over while this schizophrenic Congress is so schizophrenic it would make Napoleon the 14th proud. And insanity will continue until it changes. This is one of the reasons why I'm running. I may fail, but I'm trying to try very hard and succeed. And I've got plenty of time to come up with the signatures that I need, even if I am broke as fuck. Which reminds me, by the way, if anybody would be willing to help donate to my campaign, it's all set up. All you have to go do is go to shoopforcongress.com and look for the little QR code. They'll take you directly to the website that's handling my campaign finance donations. Please consider donating, because I can use all the money I can get. And with that, I'm going to end the pre-recorded part. I recorded that earlier this afternoon. 515-605-9898 is the number you can call in. If you got any questions you want to throw at me, feel free to do so. 515-605-9898. If you go to the original link that I posted on all the Facebook groups today and a few other places like Twitter, Neighborhood, all that, all some other social media that I've been using, the number is there, 515-605-9898. So I'll give you the short speech. Why am I running? It does seem like I'm beating against the wind or something like that. I'm running because I'm pissed. I'm angry at the way this world has turned out in the past 60 years. I'll be 61 next month. And I'm out to invoke real change upon this nation before my time on this planet is done. Who am I? I am an ancient hacktivist. I've been on these interwebs long before September. Raised in the Slate Belt and living in Allentown, and I have operated in the shadows for far too long. For many years, I was blind. When I heard in 2017 the CIA got hacked, I was motivated to get the surgeries to get my sight back. Speaking of the CIA getting hacked, it was revealed a few days ago that the fellow, Jonathan Shute, I could be wrong on that, was sentenced to 40 years in jail for taking all that data from the CIA, all those hacking tools that the CIA had developed up to that point, and posting them on WikiLeaks to where Julian Assange had posted them in his Vault 7 compilation. When he did that, okay, he practically armed Russia, North Korea, and anybody else who had access, in particular Iran, was able to get their hands on the source code to the hacking tools that used to belong proprietarily to the CIA and has now contributed to the global cyber war we are facing today. 515-605-9898. Kevin Dellecker, I believe, he's also a Republican candidate for the same office that I'm running for, claims to run a cybersecurity company. I would imagine he'd be familiar with all this. But once again, I digress. What do I advocate? How about reversing the Supreme Court's Citizens United decision that allowed big money in politics? This money is coming from all over the place, and not just George Soros, who I understand contributed $1,000 to Susan Wild's campaign. Susan Wild has all sorts of other outside backers, and so does the Republican Party. They got all manner of money flowing in here, and they're not going to work for you either way. If a Democrat or a Republican gets elected to Congress, the same thing is going to happen as all the other places where Democrats or Republicans get elected to Congress. They will be whipped. They have dedicated officers in Congress that are named the party whip, and their job is to whip other members of Congress into the party line. They don't work for you. I will work for everybody, left, right, black, white, whomever. And I stand by the Constitution. One of my big questions is, why is it that our Constitution is considered the highest law in the land, yet it is infringed the most and infringers punished the least? Am I saying that Susan Wild should be punished for her gun laws? No. But the gun laws have got to stop. The infringements have to stop. The infringements against our Second Amendment, the infringements against our Fourth Amendment, rights to a reasonable search and seizure. And there is a big hole in the Fourth Amendment. The word reasonable or unreasonable. What is reasonable anymore? The police are, I talked about this recently in the past couple of episodes, where the Allentown police are installing these shotgun sensors and video cameras that record every single license plate passing through. And I've posted numerous links about this. When does reasonable become unreasonable? Tell me. I'd like to know. 515-605-9898. Once again, area code 515-605-9898. But again, I do not like the world that I see. What do I advocate? How about reversing the Supreme Court Citizens United decision? It's been over 10 years since that has happened, and now all manner of money is flowing in, and it drowns out local voices. It drowns out my voice. It drowns out your voice. It drowns out every single registered voice. When they get to Congress, they don't work for you. They work for the party. They get whipped by the party. You want to vote for Maria Montero? Or you want to vote for Kevin Dellecker? Or you want to vote for Susan Wild? Go ahead. Nothing will change. They work for the party. Maria Montero suggests that Susan Wild always votes with Pelosi. In a manner of speaking, she's right. Pelosi was the Speaker of the House at one time. They always work for the whip. How about replacing corrupt and corruptible political parties by invoking direct and participatory democracy using pre-existing political boundaries? Nobody in America is doing that. Help me be the first. I think it can be done. In the near future, I will have the forum set up so that the registered voter can chime in on the legislative issues of the day. And if you want to be a member of this forum, you got to prove to me that you are who you say you are. Okay? I need to see photo ID. I need to see a copy of your voter registration in the same picture. Okay? And this will not go beyond the website. I'm not selling this data to anybody. This is only to verify that you are a registered voter in the PA 7th Congressional District. If you're not a registered voter in the PA 7th Congressional District, you don't stand a snowball's chance in hell of participating. You can watch, just like I do with most of my open Facebook groups. You can watch, but you can't talk unless you're a registered voter. If you are an industry within the 7th Congressional District, there will be a special option for you to chime in. Why? Because we need to work. Everybody needs to work. Everybody wants to bring the bacon home. Everybody needs to do that. And we need to have a back and forth discussion on that. I'm friends with most people on the Lehigh Valley business forums and such. And we need to talk about more about that down the road. How about high quality Medicaid for all? The kind of quality care Mick Jagger gets when he flies over from Great Britain, and not the poor quality of care homeless people get. I suffer because of this. I'll talk about that in the near future as well. But safe to say that I suffer lots of pain from the medical system here in the Lehigh Valley. It's not all fun and games. It sucks, and it needs to be much better. So I advocate for a Medicaid for all, Medicare for all, okay? The same kind of quality care that Mick Jagger gets when he flies over here from the UK. How about reversing the trends of infringement against the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the First Amendment, and the rest of the American Bill of Rights? Again, I'll ask the question. Why is it that our American Constitution is considered the highest law in the land, yet it is infringed the most and infringers punished the least? Riddle me that, Republican candidates. Riddle me that, Susan Wild. You're a lawyer. You're a very good lawyer, I hear. You make very good arguments. You used to belong to a high power legal group. Okay? Riddle me that. I'm curious. How about publicly financed political campaigns? There you go. Get rid of money out of politics, reverse Citizens United, and have everybody, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Communist, all draw their money from the same pool. Nobody takes political donations. It's all publicly funded. That puts everybody on equal footing. Get big money out of government. Doesn't belong there. Until that point in time comes, we have the best democracy money can buy. And there's a lot more I'd like to do. Send me to Congress, and I'll be sure to bring my whip. All of this and more is available at my platform at shoopforcongress.com. I've mentioned the site already. 515-605-9898. Want to give me a call? Here I am. Talk to me. Ask me your questions. Think I'm an idiot? Tell me. I know I'm an idiot. I've had my moments, but not this time. I've been thinking about this for a very long time, since long before Susan and I ever met. Once upon a time, I was about set to challenge Scott Perry in York County. This was going back 12, maybe 13 years or so. Unfortunately, blindness was kicking in at that time, and I decided not to do it, in large part because I was in York County at the time, and, well, nobody knew me there. But here in the Lehigh Valley, there are actually some people who know me, some people who remember me, especially my customers. What do? Well, I'm more like a consultant in a lot of different things. I consult on cybersecurity since this is something I've been involved with for, well, I don't know, 35 years now. Like I said, since long before Endless September. And I tinkered with viruses. I still do. Looking forward to getting my virus machine up and running for a change. It's been a while. And before 2017, I was considered something of an expert. But the CIA's leak, the tools that were leaked from the CIA, kind of sort of changed my mind about that. So I've been catching up ever since. I've been studying this and I've been studying that. And I do my customers very good, I think. I give them good value for their money. So what do I advocate for? Is the number you can call. Number six, roll back Trump. Trump decimated the Centers for Disease Control before the pandemic. And if he had not done that, the disease could have been kept there in China rather than imported here into America. Has the CDC been fully restored since the Great Deconstruction? I don't know. One of the first things Joe Biden did back in the day was he issued a stand-down order, which lasted roughly 6 weeks. And then we never heard about it. We never heard the results of that stand-down order. But it was shortly after that that the ramp-up began to war in Ukraine. And I fear there's lots of information we do not know. Revoke qualified immunity for all American police officers. Maybe this will stop the police from murdering black people or murdering anybody in particular. Sounds like a lot. It's not. It just makes them more careful on what they do during the course of their duties. It's tough out there sometimes. I dig it. Okay? Being a policeman is a tough job. I've known a few cops over the years. And they go through hell. But they expect us, the average Joe, to be okay with getting a gun pointed to the back of your head or getting a knee to the throat. No. No, this is not right at all. Removing qualified immunity will make everybody safer. 515-605-9898 is the number to call. Got about another 10 minutes or so yet. Ranked choice voting is something I would be interested in seeing. This is an idea where if the person that you voted for originally doesn't get enough votes, then maybe the second choice you have or the third choice you have get it. This can be used in something. In fact, the state of Maine has ranked choice voting. To my knowledge, they're the only state that has this. Maybe this is something that can happen more in Pennsylvania, or better yet, in the country. Maybe even this could replace the Electoral College. Now here, I'll admit, I'm just fantasizing a little bit, because Republicans won't go for it, and neither will Democrats. Full restoration of the Fairness Doctrine, removed by Republican President Ronald Reagan in 1987. This was a couple of years after he issued Executive Order 12333, which reversed the Church Commission's findings on mass surveillance and re-enabled it for a lot of the mass surveillance that we're suffering nowadays. 515-605-9898 is the number to call in. Don't see the switchboards lighting up, so we'll continue on. Right to repair at repair.org/standup. The farmers that are in Carbon County, Northampton County, and Lehigh County, you would think would be all for this, because the tractors that they use that are made by John Deere, for example, John Deere uses proprietary code. And if something happens with the software on the tractor, you have to go through them. You can't contact another computer expert unless it's one of the few people who have reverse engineered those tractors to make them work. That's actually something I need to study for myself, just for the halibut. I like halibut. I am also open to the idea of legalizing cannabis throughout the land. It's helped so many people. It makes so many people feel better. And unlike other drugs, it makes people happy. Sometimes it makes them asleep. And I'm not in favor of people driving. That's still like alcohol there yet. You don't drive intoxicated. I'll talk about this one for a moment after I give out this number. 515-605-9898. System Signaling 7. Most of you people won't know what that is. It is an operating system used by international telecoms to route calls between telephone networks. It needs to be properly repaired or replaced, as it has challenging vulnerabilities currently being exploited by car warranty sales bots, fake tech supports, and governments that use mass surveillance to spy on people. All your conversations, all your metadata is being recorded by all manner of governments, not just the United States. But if your call happens to get routed through Israel, for example, if you have a magic jack, your magic jack, as all your calls, all your faxes are routed through Israel. And Israel will spy on you and report back to America. There was a story I remember hearing about some years back when an NSA worker was working on some custom code, and this was in South Florida. What she didn't remember was that she had Kaspersky's antivirus running on her computer as she was working to compile this secretive NSA code. Now, as a normal part of antivirus, this antivirus took this strange code sample and automatically uploaded it to their central server, which in this case was in Moscow. So the secret NSA code made its way to Moscow, and Eugene Kaspersky, the owner, probably took over and looked at it personally. Unbeknownst to Eugene Kaspersky and the rest of the staff at Kaspersky Antivirus, they were monitored by the Mossad, the Israeli intelligence service. And they, in turn, told the NSA. They gave all the details to the NSA, complete with the IP address of the compiler in South Florida. And the next thing you know, they got arrested. My, what a tangled web they weave. 515-605-9898. Here's another idea. Write up an act of Congress that creates an exception in the IRS code to permit news organizations to organize as a nonprofit journalistic foundation, where tax-deductible contributions have a more favorable tax rate than most other nonprofits, such as the 501c3, etc. This nonprofit journalistic foundation can not only host news content, it can be free of the burden of carrying vulnerable third-party advertising. Why is that important? Because a majority of the viruses that come off the internet are coming down through third-party advertisers. I've been complaining about it for years to the Morning Call, to the Eastern Express, to the Family Minded Zone at WFMZ. These third-party advertisers drop these viruses in people's browsers, and they get infected. Sometimes it happens without a click. Now, just the other day, the Morning Call hosted an event at what used to be the Morning Call building at 6th and Linden. There's only like 21 people left. The newspaper is dying. The whole newspaper industry is dying. Part of it is because of Google. But part of it is also because of vulturistic capital groups like Alden Capital that come in, they buy these newspapers out, and then they gut it for everything they can. The Baltimore Sun suffered that way. Chicago Tribune, the Denver Post, famously, is suffering from that. My idea here by creating an act of Congress would help settle that and help fix that and help protect them, because we need newspapers. We need neutral third parties that work for the people and not for corporations. Back to the Journalistic Foundation idea. I wonder if, in fact, this can be a way to build a trustworthy virtual town square environment. This could answer the question how, in number two, for example, I wish to organize the registered voters into a virtual town hall environment. There's my warning. So, all right, no phone calls this week. Thank you very much for listening. Please consider supporting me in my quest to work for the registered voter. Okay? Come back next week, next Sunday, 7:30. There will be another show. Don't know what I'm going to talk about, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. And with that, I bid you good night. Thank you, and have a good night.